You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
Time to talk about vision rehabilitation services now here on RNIB Connect Radio, as a new RNIB publication says that thousands of people living with sight loss are out of sight with challenges in accessing local vision rehabilitation services, leaving them without the support that they need to live life to the full. Joining me now is Chloe Hesse, who not only has had to deal with, but in many ways come to terms with her sight loss, and has also gone on a journey with experiencing local rehabilitation services too. Hello, Chloe, and welcome to RNIB Connect Radio.
Hello.
So firstly, Chloe, would you, I suppose, briefly give me a bit of information about the eye condition that you have, which I believe was perhaps not picked up early enough for you, and maybe a couple of examples of how the condition affects you in your day-to-day life?
Yeah, so I have a condition called idiopathic intracranial hypertension, which basically causes too much spinal fluid on the brain. So my condition wasn't picked up, and it causes optic atrophy. So I had too much fluid on the brain, which then severed my optic nerve. I'm completely blind pretty much in my right eye. I've got no useful vision. And in my left eye, I've got no peripheral vision, so it's tunneled. So in day-to-day life, it causes problems with my depth perception, colour vision, kind of just being able to function in surroundings that aren't common to me. In the house, I can kind of get along all right, but when I'm out in public in different places and different environments, having to deal with lots of different lighting and situations and obviously other people, it can become quite challenging.
Yeah. And as I mentioned in my introduction, you had quite a journey of local vision rehabilitation and other sight loss support services, with I think one person turning up at your doorstep after you had been diagnosed and offering you a white cane and some training, which was not really the right support that you needed at that time. But you did have some great support from a local vision rehabilitation officer a bit later, and we'll come to that in a moment. But I wanted to sort of firstly ask, why was that white cane training not probably the right support that you needed at that time, and what would you have preferred to have been offered from a sight loss support service at that time?
So at the time, it was literally, I'd been told 3 months after my sight had been like struggling, like it had gone downhill, and they basically told me that my sight would probably get better. And then I went into hospital the next month, the same day, they said, right, you're actually going to be registered today. So that was a complete shock, from going, well, your sight will probably get better, to, right, it's time to register you as severely sight impaired. And then it was a couple of days later, I had the sight loss liaison officer at my doorstep, like you said, with a white cane. And I just didn't have a chance to get my head wrapped around it at all. I wasn't in the right headspace to be using a white cane at that moment. Really, I probably just needed a hug and a good chat, but it wasn't the right time for me. And I know a lot of people with sight loss will have that time where they just have to accept and grieve and have a couple of days or weeks or years even in bed where they just, you know, do grieve. It is a huge grieving process. And I'm sure some people would have, like, the response time of that sight loss liaison officer was obviously fantastic in that term, but for me it just wasn't right.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, isn't it? There's so much going on when you're suddenly diagnosed. It's not just necessary for practical things, as you say. It's that emotional support and time to grieve as people have to. Yeah. And a bit later, Chloe, you did receive some great support from a local vision rehabilitation officer who was sighted but had worked with a number of blind and partially sighted people over the years, and I think truly understood the type of support that you needed and introduced you to other visually impaired people and other visually impaired young parents too when you had your daughter.
Yeah.
How did, I suppose, that local vision rehabilitation officer help you at that time, both practically and emotionally?
She came in and she really understood that it wasn't just a white cane that was going to get me out the door. I had to rebuild my confidence. I'd basically been housebound for 4 years at that point. My confidence was completely gone. So she started from the ground up. It wasn't just, right, let's get your mobility up and running. It was, right, let me teach you how to do your makeup. Let me get you so that, you know, you're more comfortable in yourself again, that you can have a little bit of yourself back. Because when you lose your sight, which a lot of people that haven't lost their sight don't understand, it literally is, you lose yourself. You lose so many aspects of yourself. And she understood that I had to kind of regain some normality to then rebuild my confidence. And then introducing me to people that had been through the same experience as me was just kind of life-changing in a way, because I got to have conversations where I didn't have to filter myself or try and explain. They just understood. So I think those were such positive parts of my mobility journey. Just almost being able to complain on the hard days, but not feel judged for it.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing, isn't it? It's about talking with other people who've been through the same experiences as you and being able to talk about things. And that's, it's that support, isn't it, from other blind and partially sighted people?
Yeah, but she was just fantastic. My sight last year as an officer, she really pushed me on the days that I needed push, but was really reassuring on the days when I just needed a bit of reassurance. Like, she just really put her all into it.
And I think having your daughter may have helped you too, Chloe, as well.
Yeah, it gave me the purpose to really pick up the white cane and not be so afraid of it, because I wasn't just holding myself back at that point. I was holding her back, and I didn't want her to not have a normal childhood because of my fears. And at that point, I was fearful of the white cane. It was the stigma around it and what people would think of me and judgment and stuff. And I really had to almost man up in a sense and just be like, it doesn't matter. Which is really hard to overcome, especially when I was very independent before sight loss. I was driving, going to university, and I'd already completed a degree and all this. Like, I was a very independent person, so it was difficult.
But I suppose having your daughter, as you say, sort of made you think, actually, I need to sort of, in many ways, get on with my life for your daughter more than anything else, I suspect.
Yeah, and also caring for a child in COVID, where you haven't really necessarily got the support that I would have had outside of COVID, taught me that I'm actually far more capable than what I give myself credit for. Like, in the moment when you have to do something, I managed to do it. So that helped build confidence as well.
Definitely, definitely so. And sadly, I think that great support that you had from that local vision rehabilitation officer, in a way, suddenly stopped. What was it like at that time when that support did suddenly stop for you?
It felt like I was kind of like a boat without an anchor. I didn't have any structure. It felt like she had given me so much confidence and direction, and I really looked forward to when I did see her, because I was like, right, she's going to understand. And then it just all stopped, and it really did feel like I was just kind of floating a bit. I didn't really know where to put myself. And like, thankfully, she's set up a charity on the outside of it for people of working age with sight loss outside of the business and all that, of the sight loss liaison officer. She's started up off her own back, so we can all still have a community. So I still get to see her, but just not in the capacity of her actually getting paid for it.
Gosh, wow, that's very good of her to do that, isn't it?
Yeah.
And Chloe, obviously, you've had maybe sort of good and bad experiences of local vision rehabilitation and other sight loss support services. What for you and other blind and partially sighted people would be the best form of support, and maybe something that's, I suppose, you know, sort of an ongoing support that's got a period of time that you may have agreed with this vision rehabilitation officer, and not to have something that suddenly stops? I mean, what would be the best way of supporting blind and partially sighted people who have lost their sight suddenly?
I mean, I think on a kind of government level, I think they need to see it as the same way that you shouldn't just be discharged, and it should be an ongoing service that if you need to go back, you shouldn't have to refer back. It should just be an open door policy where you can go in and ask the questions, because life is changing always. And a lot of people with sight loss, their sight is changing always. You know, it can go downhill quite rapidly and quite suddenly. So I don't think it should just be once you're finished your mobility training and it's closed on you. It should be a service where you can go back at any time and ask the questions if you need to ask them, whether it just be by text, or maybe you need a refresher course on your mobility. Maybe you've had a stint in the hospital and haven't used your cane in quite a long time and you need just an update. You know, it should be far more accessible for people with sight loss. It shouldn't be a fight to try and get a sight loss liaison officer out, because, or a rehabilitation officer, because they are underfunded and there isn't enough of them out there for the amount of people that have sight loss. I also think that during the mobility process, because it was so beneficial to me, that more rehabilitation officers should try and promote meeting people and setting up groups with sight loss, because we are a community and we're not going to, like, many of the public aren't going to understand what we're going through. But if we have each other, we can talk about the problems that we're having and hopefully be able to work together to overcome certain things that maybe a rehabilitation officer can't.
Well, you will find a wide range of information and advice on living with sight loss, along with more about rehabilitation services, on the RNIB website. That's rnib.org.uk. Or if you would like to call someone instead, you can always call the RNIB helpline on 0303 123 9999. Well, thank you very much indeed, Chloe, for chatting with me here on RNIB Connect Radio about your experiences of rehabilitation services and other support services.
Thank you very much.
For more interviews, features and shows, go to your favourite podcast provider and search for RNIB Connect Radio.